although it is not part of the sermon, it occurs to me that when Jesus says, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket or a bushel basket, that seems like a phenomenally good way to burn your house down. I mean, this is not like a camping lamp where you flip the switch and you turn on the little glow-in-the-dark lantern with the, LED bulb. This is a clay pot with a reservoir of oil in it and a piece of burning cloth that you light that is basically a Molotov cocktail waiting to be thrown. And let's put some wicker on top of it and see how long it takes to burn your... This seems like a terribly bad idea. No one does this. Of course not. Who would do... Never mind. It's just something that occurred to me during Father Ed's reading that hadn't occurred to me during my preparation for the sermon. There you go. So, what did occur to me during the sermon preparation was when Jesus talks about you are a city on a hill. It cannot be hidden. Right? No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. You are supposed to let your light shine. I have told you this incredibly important stuff. I have given you redemption, and I want you to share it with the world. Now, don't be all secretive about it. And he tells them this and says, this is what you're supposed to do. And this passage here, this city on a hill, it resonated with people. Because for millennia, this image has been something that has really stuck with us. You can look throughout legends and art, and there's always this idea of this incredibly beautiful castle on a hill, whether it's Arthur and Camelot or some other mythical place. Heck, when our country was founded, John Winthrop referred to the Massachusetts Bay Colony as a city on the hill. He said America was going to be a city on a hill, a place that all the world was going to look to. And that was how the Puritans viewed Massachusetts. It's how they ultimately thought that all America was going to be. It's one of the scriptures that people cite when they talk about American exceptionalism. And I don't know about you, but it seems that these days, America's exceptionally messed up. I mean, there's just all sorts of things that you can't hardly watch the news without just putting your palm against your forehead and going, oh, seriously? Amen. When I was in college and getting ready to go abroad, somebody said, you should take a little Canadian flag and put it on your backpack so people think you're Canadians, because you don't want people to think you're a stupid American. That was 20 years ago. How much more so today, people going, oh, crazy Americans. Think about all the... I shudder to think how the world thinks of us, because it's not the city on a hill. But there's something to be said about what Scripture has to say about this. Scripture says, if we look at 2 Chronicles chapter 7, if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. We hear that passage a lot, right? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land.
Yes, he will. Yes, he will.
Well, I know that there are a lot of people who are calling on God and praying, and it doesn't seem to be working all that well. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I have kind of a pessimistic, cynical view on things. But it doesn't, maybe, hey, this is a shift and it's changing. But it doesn't seem to be getting all that better. In fact, it seems to be getting a little worse. But maybe I'm just looking at it wrongly. But it's always good to have the pep squad working for you here. But let's look at that. It says, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. You know, that turn is important. That turn is repent. And that humble themselves is also significant. You know, we're heading into the season. We got like 3 weeks left. And I know talking about fasting on Super Bowl Sunday is just not the thing to do. But when Scripture says, hey, is this the fast I'm calling for? You kind of need to talk about the fast that God's calling for. When God says, hey, you've got to humble yourself and pray and seek my face. I think a lot of people are praying and seeking the face. But that whole turning from their wicked ways and humbling themselves. Oh, you know what else Jesus says? In chapter 9, there's a boy who is afflicted by a demon. And the apostles try and cast the demon out and it doesn't work. And they get solidly schooled by this demon. They're just completely embarrassed. And Jesus comes and he casts the demon out. It says, when Jesus saw that people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. The spirit cried out and convulsed greatly and came out of him. And he became as one dead, so that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come out into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? So Jesus said to them, this kind can only come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. Which leads us back to our passage from Isaiah this morning. Our passage from Isaiah says a whole lot about fasting. Amen. See, the passage is a passage that is God speaking to Isaiah. And God says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Amen. Tell my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. This is God saying the same thing over again and repeating himself. Never mind. There you go. Okay, it's like a joke grenade. You pull the pin, give it 3 seconds. All right, so God continues, and he says, yet they seek me daily, and they delight to know my ways. That kind of sounds like that passage from 2 Chronicles, where they seek me, but they're not humbling themselves. They're not fasting. They delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching their God. They really enjoy worshiping. Amen. They delight in following God. Amen. But they say, why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen? Why have we afflicted our souls and you take no notice? And God continues talking and he says, in fact, in the day of your fast, you find no pleasure and exploit all of your laborers. You're sitting there saying, oh, look at me, how holy I am. I'm fasting. Meanwhile, you're abusing your laborers. Amen. He continues, indeed, you fast for strife and debate and to strike with the fist of wickedness. Amen. Look, you're causing strife and debate and turmoil, and you're doing this to cause wickedness. Amen. While you're saying, oh, look at me, I'm fasting, how holy I am. Will you not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high? Is that how you expect God to be like, oh, behold, my servant, in whom I'm well pleased? Is that what God is going to listen to and respond to favorably? Oh, here's one of my guy who's abusing my children. Let me answer his prayers. Let me heal his land. I don't think that's how it works. He continues. Is it a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast, an acceptable day to the Lord? Now, we think of bulrushes as like, what do you call them? Those cattails, okay? But that may not be what exactly Jesus is thinking of. The plants that Jesus may have been thinking of are almost like sawgrass, almost these plants that, while they may have these things like cattails that spring up in the middle of them, the cattails aren't the defining characteristic of them. The leaves that spread out and go broadly down would be the characteristic that he's thinking of. Because while they start on the ground, they go out broadly. They don't raise themselves up. It's not the cattail, the big furry thing in the middle that everybody, oh, look, it's like a cattail. No, that's not. The fact is the leaves go out broadly. In fact, when we look at Exodus, there are translations that say that Moses was put in an ark of bulrushes and that they took these leaves and they weaved them together to form this basket from these bulrush leaves. Okay, so the idea was that these plants, far from going up and, you know, going into the sky and exalting themselves, they stayed low to the ground. They were humble. They didn't go up. They stayed low. Got to be lowly. Got to be humble. To spread out sackcloth and ashes. That's an acceptable day to the Lord. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? What is the fast that God has chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free. It's horrible when you can feel a sneeze coming on and you just can't tell when it's coming. I've been feeling that one for about 30 seconds. When we think about the bonds of wickedness and the heavy burdens and setting the oppressed free, we can look at that in terms of our own spiritual condition. We can look at that in terms of the sins that bind us continually, repeatedly. Anger, rage, addiction, depression, gluttony, avarice, jealousy, all those things that continually afflict us that we try and try and try to overcome, but they're on us like chains. Or we can think about the injustice in the world around us. Amen. We can think about the world objectively, and we can look at our fellow man. We can look at our neighbors and see what's really going on in the world around us and see that we are surrounded by injustice. We are surrounded by injustice in situations that are too numerous to count. And each side of the political aisle latches onto them and has their opinions of them. But we're not called to be political partisans. We are called to be ambassadors for Christ, and as such, we're called to reflect the ideals and goals of our Master, whose motives are not the same as any political partisans here on earth. As I said on Wednesday night, an ambassador is called to further the goals of him who sent him, and not those in whose territory he resides. We are ambassadors for Christ, ministers of reconciliation, reconciling God the Father to a world that is lost and needs him. So as such, we don't represent the goals of America. We certainly don't represent one party's or another's. We cannot ally ourselves with the elephant or the donkey, because we are allied with the lamb. Amen. Amen? As such, we need to look at these issues where justice is not being served and say, this is what God would do. And it is our call to loose the bonds of injustice, to let the oppressed go free, to undo the heavy burdens, and to break every yoke. And sometimes that means calling out those upon whom we agree with on other issues. Is it not your share, is it not yours to share your bread with the hungry? And that you bring to your house those who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and hide not yourself from your own flesh? Man, when you think about that, and hide not yourself from your own flesh, and you couple that with some responses I've had to caller ID, there's a little conviction comes in there. Then your light shall break forth like the morning, and your healing shall spring forth speedily. Oh, like the healing of your land? Your land's healing shall break forth speedily? When we start taking care of people, and when we respond by providing justice, by breaking forth the bonds that hold people back and releasing them from the yokes, by providing homes for those who are cast out, then your light that's supposed to be on top of the hill shall break forth, dare we say again? Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Hallelujah. In ancient times, you had your forward guard, your advance guard, and they were the group that went before you, and they were the team that went right into the line, and they were the point of the spear. But if your group was moving, you had to be careful that you didn't get caught from behind by surprise and that you were taken off guard. And the team that made sure that the back of your force was protected was the rear guard. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. He will make sure you're not caught by surprise. He will make sure that even your blind spots are covered. Amen. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry, and he will say, here I am.
Yes, he will. Hallelujah.
Your light shall break forth like morning. You can be, we can be, that city on a hill.
Amen.
Both individually and corporately, even this church can be the city on a hill. Amen. We can be that city on a hill. And Jesus says that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you'll by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. They were trying to overcome to get into heaven by succeeding in following all the laws. But Jesus said the most important laws were these: love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, you might think that it's really easy to go from 600 and something laws to two. But those two are exceedingly challenging. Because loving your neighbor as yourself is really a tough act. It means looking at people as God would see them. Looking at the whole mess of humanity. The mess that is ourselves. And treating them as we would our own children. Treating them as God would treat them. Loving them as ourselves. That is an incredibly challenging call. But that is to what God calls us. We are a month away from Lent. Maybe we ought to start getting ready early. Maybe we ought to start thinking about what we're going to fast, and maybe meat isn't just going to cut it this year. Maybe we need to do something more. Amen. Maybe we need to see how we can break injustice. I don't know that we're going to solve the problems of the world in 6 weeks, but maybe we can do something here in our own communities. Maybe we can do something in our own lives. Maybe we can solve something in our own hearts. Because this is our call. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.